Okay, here we are on YouTube with another edition of Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel here. Kyle, you made it up it? Okay?
Yes, somewhat.
Okay. And out in Signal Land, we've got Alex.
You do.
Got Rob T. Firefly.
Hello.
We've got Gila.
Good evening.
And we have a special guest, Joshua Aaron. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Well, now this is the part of the show where we can talk a bit more frankly, and we sometimes take phone calls as well, but I should warn you, there's been a hum on our line lately we can't seem to shake, but we're good just, you know, talking amongst ourselves. So if there's anything else you wanted to mention or things that you thought might not be safe for radio, have at it.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm certainly happy to answer any questions or, you know, go over things again for the YouTube listeners out there. But yeah, fire away. I'm all good.
Okay. Anybody in the studio have anything more to add or ask?
One thing that I think Alex was touching on is, have you considered, or is do you think it might be feasible to eventually sometime have maybe a web-based version of this, if not for like inputting data, then just to see what's out there, what's going on in a read-only sort of way?
It's a great idea, and it is something that's been proposed a bunch of times to me. Right now, I think we've grown so fast with the app that my head's exploding with so much that I want to make sure is right for how it is now. But certainly, I mean, it's definitely on the radar. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I guess no one else has any other questions. Well, I wanted to ask Joshua, as far as people who are concerned about what they see going on every day with ICE, they might think that they're safe. Do you think they're safe in the future? I mean, somebody who, you know, has lived here all their lives is, you know, red, white, and blue, and as they can imagine, and not in any kind of trouble at this point. Do you think these are the kinds of things that are laying the ground for something a bit more insidious?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that when we talk about people, you know, flying the red, white, and blue and, you know, wearing, you know, Trump is the next, you know, coming of Christ, I don't think they have much to worry about because those are the people that they want, right? But I think anybody who criticizes them, anybody who speaks out, anybody who just doesn't believe in their vision. Oh, my God. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was like, I looked down. To all your listeners, I'm sorry for, like, breaking in the middle of thought there. I looked down, and I saw a microphone muted sign, so I thought I was talking to nobody there for a second.
we feel that,
yeah,
a lot.
Nobody crosses their path. I think yeah, they're not going to stop with where they are now. They're only exponentially expanding it, right? I mean, they started with one group. Now they've moved on to another and another and another after that, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. So to say that, yeah, I'm a citizen of this country and I'm safe even though I push back against everything or I, you know, I make posts on social media, I wouldn't think that you're real safe with that at all. I think they're going to come for you next. And Emmanuel, to your point, by the way, and I know, just so you guys are aware, Emmanuel and I were talking on the phone the other day, and we had this great conversation. So one of the things that we talked about was kind of what's coming down the pike. And the way I see it is, you know, if you've read Project 2025, you kind of can see the chess pieces being placed, right? We've seen our local law enforcement, you know, spouting the thin blue line and the Punisher logo and white supremacy, this, that, and the other. We've seen the gangs and the LAPD, and I'm sure many others across this country. I'm not certainly out here saying that all cops are terrible and all cops are white supremacists, but we have seen a ton of them. And to say, you know, it's only a few bad apples, I think, you know, it's kind of the opposite. I think there's only a few good apples at this point. And then we are militarizing ICE and militarizing the police force, right? We were giving them, since the Obama days, we've been giving them surplus military equipment, which they have no business using at all or having in their possession. And then if we look kind of at the checklist, it's like, well, isn't martial law next? And so, yeah, I mean, we might see it. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or anything, but, you know, I seem to have been on the right path so far.
Well, I imagine that that might answer one of my questions, which is if you ever think you might see the day where the police will actually protect the people against the sort of thing that ICE brings, or will they just simply fall into step with them at some point?
I have a great answer, but somebody else can take this before I go off on it.
Anyone?
Nobody? Nobody wants to chime in on that?
Kyle?
Me.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Well, I think it might, there might be a small percentage, but I think tendency to be involved in those sorts of things where there's chains of command and hierarchies, they tend to sort of fall in and cooperate. There might be parts of the country where that doesn't really, that doesn't work with their community standards. Hopefully there's a lot of places in the country that have better community standards than what federal agents want to wield. But, yeah, I think that is entirely possible. The use of a wider sort of federal law like martial law, it's so tempting. I mean, you know, they want to. They're doing everything they can and to fast track that, to make it a reality. They're putting in place all the infrastructure for it under the auspices of this particular issue they ran on, as they put it. But it allows so much more power if the scope of it was to widen. They would already have all of this in place, and sadly, a lot of us, we're kind of alarmist in the way we felt we were sounding early on, maybe even in the previous iteration of this regime, but it's actually a lot worse than what we were saying it would be already, straight up. So I don't think you're a conspiracy theorist. It's not a conspiracy if it actually occurs, right?
You know, we can say that now, but, you know, if we had said how bad things are now back then, nobody would have believed us. I would have had trouble myself. But
we tempered everything because we were trying to, like, meet in the middle and mm-hmm. be all sort of, like, considerate and critical of our own thinking, but I don't think that was as warranted as it was, as we felt it was at the time.
Good points.
Well, you know, if you don't mind, I just to your point, and very well said, going back to when COVID hit 6 years ago, right, almost 6.5 years ago now, I was doing all kinds of research from a scientific standpoint on how it was being transmitted, how to protect yourself, what this mRNA vaccine was really, you know, is it a vaccine, is it not, how does it affect your body, all this kind of stuff. And I was the one trying to tell people, like, this is really serious. Like, this is going to decimate you for, like, the rest of your life. You know, you get it. You're going to have, like, long symptoms. You know, you might not die from it, you know, but who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, when Novavax came out with their vaccine, I was a huge proponent of them. But you say these things, and the reason I'm bringing this up is to your point, you say the stuff before it happens, and everybody goes, well, but we don't have any evidence for that yet. And they don't want to believe what's coming down the pike until it's too late. And that's, I think, the same thing we're seeing happening with the Trump regime. And the people of this country, for example, we've been led to believe that we're always safe, right? Nothing's going to hit our shores. Nothing's going to come to our doorstep. All the horrible things happen in other countries. And this has been trained into us for generations. So when, you know, we see the things happening as they're happening now, and they're happening very, very quickly, things are ramping up, nowhere near what they're about to be, I hate to tell you, but even what we're seeing right now, I don't think people really want to believe it. You know, until it affects them personally, they're just not gonna be scared of it, not gonna be cognizant of it, and not really care about helping somebody else. So many people, honestly, especially here in Texas that I've met, you say something like, "Well, don't you care about your fellow man, or don't you care about the people around you?" And they go, "I care about me and my family. And when it hits my doorstep, I'll do something about it." Well, then it's too late, right?
Yeah, then you're, like, being pulled kicking and screaming into the street, right? Like, it's way too late at that point. Yeah, yeah. People don't understand the incremental increase in temperature as they're boiling in the pot.
Joshua, do you think you've changed any minds? Have you had any conversations where somebody said, "I just never looked at it that way before, and now I support what you're doing"?
I think once people understand what it really is, and it's not about the talking points, I've definitely had the "oh, now I get it" kind of moments, right? But not on the grand scheme of like, you know, we hate you or we hate what you're doing or you know, we're so against everything that you stand for and magically I've changed their minds in a conversation. I don't know that we can do that anymore. I want to have rational conversations with people on both sides, by the way. I'm happy to listen to an opposing opinion, and if it's based in reality and based in facts, let's talk about it and let's find out why you believe what you believe and why I believe what I believe, and maybe there is some common ground that we can share. I just don't know that that's possible with the polarization that's happening right now.
And on the subject of that polarization, that brings me to Fox. I want to know if you've ever been on Fox News. Have they asked you to be on?
I have not been on Fox News proper. I have been on quite a few Fox affiliates throughout this country. Let's see, I've been in Oakland, California, San Francisco, Vermont, El Paso. I mean, the list goes on. So I've been on their Fox affiliates, but that's not Fox News proper.
No.
I don't know why they're not asking. You know, maybe they don't want somebody who actually speaks truth to power. Maybe they don't want somebody who's going to tell them what's what and push back against their lies. Because I can throw facts at them all day long and dispute everything that they're saying. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to go on their shows whenever they want me.
Interesting, because you've been on MSNBC. You've been on CNN. I imagine there's a whole lot of other networks that you've been on as well, and I think maybe they're afraid they don't have what it takes to counter your facts with whatever it is they come up with.
Yeah, and that's incredibly possible. I mean, from Fox to Newsmax to, you know, whatever other state-run media, you know, they want to have out there, I'm happy to talk to anybody. Like, I'm not afraid to go up against them, so, you know, give me a call. That's all I would say to that.
Wow. Okay. Do we want to try and open up the phone calls? Joshua, sometimes this doesn't work out too well, and sometimes we wind up getting people who talk about all kinds of other things despite our requests. But we're going to give it a try and see if we have decent sound quality, for one thing. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. And if anyone is out there and wishes to be a part of the conversation, we're talking with Joshua Aaron. So we're talking about the IceBlock app. And if you have questions about that or thoughts, that's what we want to hear right now. If you have other things to say, maybe we can call a little bit later on and have that conversation. And of course, it's the person we know is not going to do that is calling right now. Let's just get it over with. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead, Rebel. There's nobody there. I don't hear anything.
Oh yeah, you got to plug the phone.
You got to plug the phone in. Did you just hang up on? Oh boy. Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead. There's still nobody there, Carl. It's like the board isn't up. Ah, there we go. There we are. Okay, who's there?
Yes, I wanted to mention about the IceBlock thing. I think that you know, the if there's an app that tells you when ice is coming, right?
Are you able to hear him, Joshua?
I am. Yes.
Okay.
I just didn't hear I just heard when ice is coming, and then
I can't hear him very well.
Yeah. Okay. We've established that you can't hear anybody on the phone, Rebel. So what I'll do is I'll say whatever anyone else says within reason.
Okay.
So your question was, does it tell you when ice is coming? And I would imagine the answer to that would be if somebody says that ice is here and they're within a 5-mile radius and you're within that 5-mile radius, you will get an alert. Is that correct, Joshua?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's not going to tell you that ice is predicting when ice is going to arrive somewhere. We're simply saying, you know, here's a tool for users to report that they have seen ice at a location, and users within a 5-mile radius of that location will get a notification, or it'll come up in the list if you have the app open, to let you know where ice has been sighted, so you can turn left, turn around, go home, avoid the situation.
Okay. I hope that answered your question, Rebel.
Uh, I didn't hear it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you there. I don't know, other people can hear it, but Rebel can't. But thanks for your call, Rebel. We're going to move on to other calls, 802-321-4225. Usually they last 20 minutes, so this time it's, but you know, I was thinking about this, about the app. Isn't it basically the same thing that you could have on an app that tells you when the ice cream man is in town? You could basically,
it is.
I mean,
totally the same thing.
Every, and in fact, wouldn't that be a great way to market it? Just say, hey, get the ice cream out. it would take ice months to figure out what everybody was doing, but they're not looking for the ice cream man. They're looking for the ice man. It even works.
It'd be kind of weird though if like there were like 10 ice cream trucks around your 5 mile radius though.
True. Although, you know, their budget just went up a lot, so I don't know.
It's a heat wave.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody go get your snow cones.
802-321-4225. We don't have any calls right now, do we, Kyle? Okay. Any other Gila, go ahead.
Yes, we do have 51 people with us right now. Well, 50 not counting me. We have 53. We're very glad everyone is here with us. Just wanted to drop a couple of things that people mentioned earlier in the discussion on the chat. Listener Jinx, I'm assuming, says all the tax money for legal drugs is paying for the paramilitarization of our police forces, which I think is an astute point. And Unix Ninja, awesome, says conspiracies aren't fake by definition, which is how they get portrayed. A conspiracy simply means multiple people are involved. Also, Rebel was trying to tell everyone that the 2600 meetings were this Friday, not last Friday. Thank you to Rob for setting him straight.
Yeah, I think he just missed it and wants it to be this Friday, but it's not this Friday. Mm-hmm. But some meetings are. So because of the 4th of July, some meetings are happening. Check your local meeting website. And if you don't have a local meeting website, start one so that this kind of thing doesn't get so confusing. I guess the question now is what's next? I mean, you have the app. The app's out there. People are using it. Word's gotten out. Is it just working on the health app, or is it improving this app, or is it coming up with different related apps?
I'm not really looking at related apps, at least not right now. It is improving this app, and that's what I'm kind of concentrating on 24/7 right now, making it faster, making it more stable, supporting this vast amount of users, right? I mean, to grow that much in a week is tremendous, and so the data going back and forth is huge, and looking at a bunch of different options on how to do that, which may, and again, kind of putting it in the back of my head, may allow me to bring this to Android. And so I'm thinking about it. I'm trying. I hear you. I can tell you in the next update, like somebody asked that the version number be in there. So that's in there now. A couple of people asked for some languages. So I added 4 new languages. We're going to have French, Indonesian, German, and Italian in the next update. Corrected a little visual bug on the iPhone 15 Pro where the text was wrapping. But really, I'm concentrated on how do we deliver these notifications better? How do we do it faster? How do we do it more accurately? And that's what I'm working on building every day right now.
Can the app be modified a bit for other countries that also have similar types of Gestapos occasionally launching raids against them?
I suppose it probably could. I mean, it really wouldn't have to be modified at all. You would just say, you know, this is available in this country. So, I mean, I guess to your point, the modification would simply be only in this country, right? So you'd release, like, maybe one for Germany or one for, you know, Australia or whatever. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
There's some discussion in the chat about, like, where ICE is happening, and that led me to wonder. I know you said you don't keep individual personally identifiable information on the users of this app. Are you keeping any statistical information on the ICE sightings themselves, or is it just a flash in the pan type of thing?
No, because so all sightings are automatically deleted after 4 hours, and so they're coming constantly from all over the country. So there's not really statistics or metrics or anything like that that I've been collecting or trying to analyze. It's more just like, how can I keep this as stable as possible and make sure it's just running for the people who need it? I'm not trying to sell data, and I don't collect any data, including metrics. So, I mean, I get asked in almost every interview, like, you know, how many users do you have in California? And I go, I don't fucking know. You know, I have no idea. So,
there's something really awesome about that, I think. that's the old internet spirit.
I think I'd put it like this. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many users I have in California or Montana or New York. I care that there's enough people using it that it's becoming an effective tool to protect themselves and their communities. That's all I care about.
Go ahead, Gila.
So speaking of internet hacker spirit, we did have a question in the chat. Optical Phoenix asks, is the source code available?
Hmm.
The source code is very much not available. And I know that this is the antithesis of the hacker community and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But this is very much not open source because I don't want the powers that be knowing how I'm doing what I'm doing so that they can subvert the code and then come after our users. So I've heard so many people calling for, well, you need to make this open source because I don't believe that you're not collecting information. Well, you know what? TechCrunch independently verified, without my knowledge, by the way, they put out an article and said we independently verified. They're collecting nothing. Apple has the badge, like it's not a badge, but it's like a graph, kind of graphic or whatever, on the App Store page that says no data collected. Go look for how many apps you can see that have that because they verify that stuff during app review. Like, we collect nothing. In fact, let's be completely transparent to your users. When you report a sighting, here's what we get. We get the street name, the street number, the city, the state, the zip code, the country, which, by the way, is always the United States because it's only available in the United States. And there's a marked for deletion Boolean column. That is literally all that's in the database. There's nothing else. We keep no logs at any time. So, you know, I don't know how much safer and more anonymous I could make it than that.
Well said. You know, I think these might be some points that other developers might take note of, thinking that putting your code out there is the right thing to do, and oftentimes it is, but it can be subverted. I mean, how would you see that going about? Let's say that you did put your code out there. How could they subvert your code and get people to run that instead of what you're putting out?
Well, I mean, if all of us are in the hacker community and are coders, I think there's probably a million ways to answer that, right? I probably can't even think of some of the ways that it could be done. But, you know, I will say this. One of the reasons that Android gave me pause rather than iOS is because you have to download the app from the Apple App Store if you have an iPhone. You cannot sideload. You can't download from GitHub. You can't download from a website. You can't install it in any other way than from the Apple App Store, right? And that means it has to go through app review. So that's a vetted app. And that's why there's no malware or no nefarious apps, or at least, you know, not for long if they do slip through the cracks. On Android, you can sideload, right? And so one of my concerns is, and I don't even know how it might be done, but it occurred to me that if I put out IceBlock for Android, even in the most secure way I possibly couldn't somebody write an app that could kind of, you know, tunnel in to IceBlock and find out if they're reporting or find out what they're doing or where their location is? Or, you know, I am just trying to keep everybody safe, and we are in some very, very scary times right now, so is there a chance that something could happen? That's good enough for me to say no.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of people don't get that we are living in dangerous times, that they are at risk when they think they're not?
I absolutely think that because I have had pushback, especially since I tried to release an Android statement, just something, you know, kind of, for lack of a better word, dumbed down so that everybody could understand it. And it was just about the push notifications, like having device IDs or having to store identifiable information. I didn't get into all the crazy specifics, like we were just talking about sideloading or tunneling in or any of that. And the responses were, well, I don't care if my data gets out there. I just want the app and I want to know where ICE is. Why aren't you protecting me? And it's like, whoa, you know, trust me, you care. You just don't know that you care right now. So, yeah, I do think that's a very prevalent thought in people who don't think it through.
So what would you say to somebody who came to you and said, you know what, I know the risks, I want to take those risks. Will you allow me to do that?
No. I mean, that's the answer. It's plain and simple. I'm not going to be the one that's going to put you at risk with something that I write. If you want to do it yourself, go do your own thing. Be my guest. Go write an app that has no security in it whatsoever and opens all your data up to whoever wants to have at it. Let's see how far you get.
Mm-hmm. Rob, go ahead.
Joshua, I saw that you had written that fake versions of purporting to be the IceBlock app, but for Android, have been popping up. What's the game there? Like, what are they even trying to do?
Are you serious? People are making fake versions?
Totally serious. Yes, there was like this GitHub thing that they were putting out there as IceBlock for Android, and come download our code and whatever. And users reported it to me. I didn't even know it was out there. And that's why I put that statement out that says, hey, don't download this. But, yeah, you know, this is what happens, right? You know, you get an idea. It gets big. Somebody's going to try and do something bad to hurt people, especially when, again, we're pushing back against probably what they don't believe in. And whether this is Russian hackers or, you know, MAGA here in the U.S. or whoever it might be, I have no idea who this is. But I would just tell your listeners, like, this is only available right now on the Apple App Store, and it will continue to only be available on the Apple App Store for the foreseeable future. But I'm trying.
One thing that the MAGA people were very proud of is that they claimed to have figured out how to file false reports. But again, as you say, it's limited to a 5-mile area that you are actually in. So, I mean, it's kind of a limited form of attack, is it not?
It's one of the most ridiculous things I've seen them do, and I love the guys. So, perfectly candid, I was doxxed like 3.5 weeks ago or whatever on X, right? They put out my home address and my personal information and all this kind of stuff. And ever since, I've had the fun time of getting death threats every single day. We know where you are. We're coming to get you, you know, whatever. So I try to, you know, part of my staying vigilant is I'll go on X and I'll just search IceBlock and I'll look at who's posting what. And I love these posts with, I reported 100 false sightings this morning. And I'm thinking, did you now? Because you can only report one sighting every 5 minutes. So maybe don't spend 500 minutes in your mother's basement. You know, let's get out, let's see the world. You know, you're probably not doing that. But they love to say this. Their new one is, wherever you're going, make sure you report that ICE was sighted there so that the lines aren't as long. And they're like, talking about like the water park and stuff. It's like, what are you doing? This is so dumb.
They're using it to get cut ahead of line at a water park. Okay, that's about the mentality we're dealing with, I guess.
Look, I when I was looking at the database, and I don't do this very often because I'm not worrying about metrics or user information or any of that, but thinking about how to make this better and improve it, I wanted to kind of go through the database and find out just how many reports were in there. I think it was a couple of days ago I went in there, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and there were, I want to say, like 350 reports across the country, which is a lot. 350 reports that ICE has been cited is a lot right now, right? And out of all of those, as I'm scrolling through it, I found two that just had like hate speech in the notes and were obviously false. Two. So they're not doing this. And there are so many safeguards in place. Like I said, you can only report a sighting once every 5 minutes. You can only report a sighting within your own 5-mile radius. Everything's auto-deleted after 4 hours. You can't type in 123 Main Street and report a sighting to kind of span the database. It has to be a valid address. And you can't report the same sighting twice. So it's not like you're going to see, and for lack of a better example, let's use 123 Main Street. Let's say that was a valid address. If 15 users try to report it, it's not going to happen. Only the first one goes through, and the next one say, sorry, this sighting's already been reported, but when, you know, it expires, if they're still there, please report it again. So all of these safeguards are in place, and for all of their bluster and talk, it's not happening.
Is there any kind of added weight that can be given to a sighting that's been reported by multiple people as opposed to one that's just been reported by one person?
Well, again, you can't report a sighting multiple times, so I wouldn't know if multiple people were reporting it, right? Because it's going to tell them they can't report it. But so when you get into kind of voting or flagging or any kind of thing like that, you're now getting into moderation. And so the minute you get into moderation, guidelines from Apple say this is a social networking app that now requires you to have a user account. And when you have a user account, then you have to give them a way to delete that user account. So then we're now maintaining a database with user identifiable information so that users can access it and update their profiles and change their passwords and like all this stuff that doesn't matter for IceBlock and the early warning system and leads it to be no longer 100% anonymous. And so the answer, that was a very long answer to say no.
Well, I admire your passion and sticking to that because you're going to get all kinds of pressure from people and say, oh, well, you can just improve by doing this. But, you know, I totally see your point. And this makes it simple and effective. But what I'm curious about is how much work is it for you now that it's out? Do you have to maintain it constantly? Is there a lot of hand-holding anywhere?
It's not so much hand-holding because there's a pretty big help file that I wrote. I'm a big believer in explaining things to people if your listeners haven't gotten that by my rambling. But that will explain everything. But it's written in a way that everybody can understand it so easily. So not really as far as like teaching or solving problems. There have been things like I can't move the map, and I'm like, okay, there's a little lock button right there, and just 2 inches above your finger, tap that little question mark and read the help file, and you'll know all about it. But yeah, not so much. My days are now spent going, okay, what's not working properly? For example, but 2 weeks ago, users were reporting all of a sudden that nothing was updating, nothing was in their lists, and they weren't getting notifications. Like everything was just not happening, right? It was like a dead app, and I'm like, what is going on here? I come to find out that we grew so fast that Apple started rate limiting us because of the vast number of users. So I issued a very quick update. I stayed up literally all night, and I rewrote the way that it was getting, querying the database. And I pushed that out the next day, and in Apple's true fashion, they took 3 days to actually approve it. But we got it out there, and that's version 1.2, so that solved that problem. Now, the next one seems to be, and this isn't happening across all users, but some users aren't receiving notifications. So, what's that problem? All the while, I'm trying to kind of revamp in a new way to do this to kind of take it off of Apple's side so that I'm more in control and able to do things faster for our users.
Let me ask you, are you able, because this is a pet peeve of mine with apps on my Android phone, I like the ability to modify the sound that it makes when it's sending an alert. And if it's the same sound as everything else makes, I'm not going to know that my fire alarm's going off or something like that. Do you have the ability to do that, or is that something you consider?
That is probably one of the best suggestions I have heard yet.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's an awesome suggestion. I did not even consider that as a possibility. And of all the suggestions I've had, that one actually makes the most sense.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put that on the list. Like, seriously, I'm going to put that on the list.
Awesome. Now, if only my fire alarm app could be so responsive, but that's great to hear, because a little thing like that definitely can make a difference. I'd like to ask you, Joshua, now, have you gotten many testimonials from people who say, wow, I use this, and it worked, and it saved my grandmother from being deported, or God knows what? I just wonder, is there a way for people to even tell you this?
The answer is I do not encourage our users to post about, like, I'm using IceBlock and this is how I avoided this or whatever, right? I want to keep them safe. I want to keep them anonymous. I don't need to know that. But our users are incredible, and they want to help other people, get the app and encourage them to use it and all that. And so they have been posting things here and there that I've seen, and it's pretty incredible. Very cool yesterday. So a reporter from Reuters called me, and they're doing kind of, it's not like a documentary, but it's like an expose on what's going on in California with ICE. And he's been tasked with being on both sides for the last 30 days. And this guy's a Mexican-American, a younger guy, amazing guy. And he said he reached out to me because with the whole thing happening at MacArthur Park, He said literally everyone was using IceBlock when they were there. Every phone that he looked at, everyone had IceBlock installed, and he went, "Oh my God, I got to talk to this guy," and that's why he reached out. And now we're doing like this whole thing together. So the answer is yes. I know people are using it. Yes, I know people are being helped by it. But do I encourage you to come out publicly and go, "Hey, I used IceBlock and this saved me from something"? I don't want to encourage you to do that. I just want you to be safe.
You know, since nobody knows what the hell that thing was at MacArthur Park on Monday, maybe you could say it was a test of our software to see how many people could use it at once, you know, and it worked great. It was
a show of force by this administration. You know, they weren't there to arrest people. They were there to say, we can militarize these streets real quickly if we need to, because we're here.
This is before their budget goes up a hundredfold or whatever. Alex, go ahead.
With respect to the testimonials, I will say, though, Joshua, that if you look at the reviews in the App Store, there is a lot of effusive prose out there gushing about the efficacy of IceBlock and how it's helped people and helped them and helped their neighbors and community. So there are people out there, you know, posting about it, and I think that's great.
Thank you for saying that. That is true, and I totally forgot about the App Store reviews. I'm thinking more of, like, seeing posts on social media, but you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Go ahead, Gila.
And that was the thing. I was, last week, when we were talking about the app on the show last week, I was looking at it on the App Store, and there was a fair amount of review brigading going on, and I don't think that has necessarily dropped off completely, but it does seem to have kind of corrected again, which is nice to see. And I will say, I downloaded, I am an iPhone user, and I downloaded it. There have been two sightings within 5 miles of our home in the last 4 hours. I find it also just very easy to use. I find it super intuitive, which I really appreciate. And I do default to having my location services on only when using the app. So I also appreciate the push notification that told me why it was good to always have my location on. So thank you for the clarity and the ease of use, which I definitely appreciate. Did have a couple questions get pushed in through the chat, if you don't mind. I know there are some things that we have discussed, but I just want to make sure that I'm asking it as the listener asked it. So from Unix Ninja, is the push notification issue the only blocker for Android? And if so, would something like notification polling against distributed edge workers help solve for that challenge?
So I think we talked about this.
We definitely did.
Again,
yeah.
it's a cool idea, but while that might be a thing, it's not what I'm looking at right now. I'm actually thinking about a much better way to do it than that, and it'll just be so much more robust. But no, the answer is it's not just the push notifications. That's kind of the statement I put out so that everybody, even the layman's, could understand it. But I think it goes far deeper than that when you start thinking about all the ramifications of, a platform like that, which would cause you to maintain any kind of user identifiable data to do anything.
Okay, we're speaking with Joshua Aaron, the developer of IceBlock. And I should point out, too, Joshua's going to be at HOPE in one form or another coming up next month. And we're going to make that work somehow. And it's another reason why you should get your ticket to HOPE now, because, boy, we really need the help as far as getting attendance to go up. We also have something new we just announced this week, the HOPE Scholarship. That's if you can't go to HOPE, but you wish you could, and you can afford to go, why not help somebody who can't afford to go attend HOPE for the first time and maybe change their lives? Because so many people have said, HOPE has changed my life in a good way. All you have to do is go to our store, store.2600.com, and simply look for the HOPE tickets. You'll see one for scholarship. What you do is you pay for a full ticket, and you indicate whether you want that to go to a student or to anybody who can't afford to go. And we have a list of people that have already said they want to apply for scholarships, and we pair the two together anonymously if desired. And that's how more people can go to HOPE and that's how the Hope Conference itself gets helped out too by more tickets. And if you can go to Hope, then by all means, get your ticket to store.2600.com. If you want to attend Hope, but you can't attend in person, there's the virtual ticket as well. So we have all kinds of options. But the important thing is we need people to attend. We have so many good speakers. The schedule is about to be announced. I think we have more speakers than last year, which is incredible. So, you know, we're not asking for more attendees than last time, but at least something comparable. That would be nice. And that would enable us to continue thriving and doing things, doing more radio, doing more publishing, doing more fun things. It's not like we spend money on this. It's that we don't have to worry about other things, and we don't have to take on second jobs at car washes and things like that. So hopefully everything will work out. More details, hope.net is our email address. All kinds of announcements being made there on a daily basis. So before we close out for the night, Alex, I think you had something else, and anyone has any further questions for Joshua, we'll let him go because he's been with us for quite some time.
Yeah, and I want to encourage people to call in 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. In the meantime, though, Joshua, am I right in understanding that the official domain for the app would be iceblock.app?
Yes.
Okay, all right, because I've been doing a little bit of digging while we've been talking here as well to see if any impersonations have popped up here.
We go.
Yeah, and in fact, surprisingly enough, though, I'm not seeing a tremendous amount of cyber squatting or impersonators just yet, but I do see that on July 1st, I believe it is, iceblockapp.com was registered. So that's an impersonator. You might want to try to take that one down. You know, we're happy to help you with that if need be. But that, to me, could be like this could be a malicious distribution channel if people are able to propel and promote kind of fictitious and malicious domains, you know, maybe pushing out some kind of fake Android application that could be sideloaded and that could then compromise people. Like, I think this is kind of dangerous if we see impersonators of IceBlock out there that go unsighted and without any kind of enforcement.
Well, has anyone dared to visit that site?
I just did. Iceblockapp.com. The first thing I got was a notice that ad blocker detected. Disable your ad blocker. So just for the sheer hell of it, I went ahead and disabled my ad blocker and reloaded the site. And there are ads for commercial ice machines.
Yep.
Yes. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't even thought of that.
I totally use one of those. Honestly.
Yeah. It's really really kind of funny.
Wow, that might be helpful.
You know what a good thing is, and it might be cool to just tell your listeners, is come on the Blue Sky platform. If you're not on there, please join us there, because at iceblock.app is the official channel of this app on Blue Sky. And you can follow me, too. I'm at joshua.stealingheather.com. I know we haven't kind of talked about my music side, but Stealing Heather was one of the bands that I was in, and that's why my profile is that.
Tell us something about your... Go ahead, Rob, and then...
Just, of course, we're off the hook radio at bluesky.social.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So tell us something about your musical career, because you mentioned that once or twice, and I'm very curious.
Oh, sure. So, in your neck of the woods, there was a band called the Rosenbergs, which was... fairly well-known power pop band in the late 90s, early 2000s. We were the Napster tour band with Echo and the Bunnymen in the United States and Modern English in Europe, and we did all kinds of fun stuff. And we were, as I kind of pushed, because I was the second bass player in that band, I sort of brought the political side to it a little bit, and then like at Summerfest we went with Guster and saw Fahrenheit 9/11 when that first came out, the day it came out, and mm-hmm. then we stopped our show in the middle of the songs and we started talking about what was going on with our audience. So all kinds of fun stuff there. And then I was the front man, lead singer, guitar player for Stealing Heather, which was kind of more of a, I don't want to say arena rock, but it was more pop rock type of stuff. Think Coldplay or Stereophonics or those kinds of bands. And, yeah, you can see music videos on YouTube. There's still the stealingheather.com website is still up, so you can see all kinds of photos. And the music is all still available on Apple Music. So you can buy the albums, you can listen to them. We're on Spotify, all kinds of different stuff. Yeah.
So are you still involved?
About 12 years ago, we moved to Austin, and I kind of took a break.
Wait a minute, you moved to Austin and took a break from music?
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
It is not as musically oriented as it is purported to be, let me tell you. We sort of threw a dart at a map coming from L.A. I needed a break from L.A. I was just there for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, Austin, this is like the blue city in Texas, so the weather's going to be great. I can ride my motorcycle every day of the year, and the music scene's going to be amazing. Turns out, and I'm not trying to disparage anything, but just reality check, it's like a bunch of cover bands, like college cover bands,
mm-hmm.
and that's, I don't know how they got this live music capital of the world thing, but I miss the musician quality in L.A. for sure.
Well, there's a lot of those bands on Sixth Street, so I guess that's how they got the reputation.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. But, you know, I think they'd be open to something cool and creative, but hopefully you've got a lot of that ahead of you as well.
Well, twice now when the International Pop Overthrow has come to Austin, we headlined.
Mm-hmm.
So Stealing Heather made an appearance, kind of reunited, and came out and did a show. I did a couple of acoustic performances here and there. Just not as much as I used to. You know, unfortunately, you know, my wife got sick, and so I've been taking care of her, and I've been doing kind of the home thing and the coding thing, and I'm good. You know, I had a fantastic career for like 20 years in music, and I couldn't be more thankful for it. But now that music has been it's like a commodity. It's like, you know,
right. You
spend years. I mean, I spent 4.5 years making the Your Mistake record for Stealing Heather, which is the latest record for that band. And, I mean, just think of how much money was spent with the label and marketing and PR and like all this kind of stuff to make this album go. And they're selling my songs for 99 cents,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, by the way, Apple takes 30 cents up, right? So, like, we get 69 cents, and the label gets a percentage of that. At the end of the day, I got to pay my bills, right? So, you know, it's just not feasible.
I'm sure Spotify comes to the rescue.
Oh, yes. What was it? Pharrell's Happy had, like, 18 million plays, and I think he got a check for $900.
That says it right there. Hey, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Luraju from Washington, D.C.
Greetings.
I was just listening. Yeah, I was listening to. I was listening in, and I can barely hear any of the other people except for Emmanuel.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, this we all hear it fine here, and could be a YouTube problem. I don't really know. We try this every week. We try and make it better. We'll talk louder if that helps. But right now, you have a question? Go ahead.
Yes, I do have a question. If anyone wants to forward anything to me, you'll have to go through Emmanuel since I can only hear him. But I was just wondering about this IceBlock app. Why can't it just be a website that I go to? I mean, I can just go to Firefox on my Android phone or my iPhone and report locations there. And I'm pretty sure you can push notifications through the browser. There's a way to do that.
All right, let's see what the answer is. Go ahead, Joshua.
So the answer to that is you go to a website, your IP is going to be tracked in the log. What you've done on that website, everything you've downloaded from that website, what GET request is going to be logged. Then you say, well, why can't I just report a sighting? Okay, so let's say that you can report a sighting on the web. So now your post request is going to be logged with your IP address. And then you say, well, can I receive push notifications through the browser? Sure, maybe, but then what are we going to do? We're going to write a Firefox extension to do that? Like, this is not what it was designed for. This is designed to just be an app and be an early warning system, and I understand the idea of what you're saying, and maybe I'll figure it out at some point down the road. But right now my concentration is to make this app as good as it can possibly be for the iPhone, and maybe, as I've been saying, if I can figure it out, I want to bring it to Android because I want as many users as possible.
So basically, to translate that, you should get an iPhone. Because everything you do on the web page or on Firefox or whatever is going to be logged someplace, and it's just not safe.
Well, I mean, it's definitely discovered.
Though, yeah. It was a bit low, but...
Okay, you could hear. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, though. I mean, as it has been brought up before, you know, I'm sure most people in the immigrant community don't have an iPhone. They're incredibly expensive. I mean, Android is the cheapest one on the market.
Well, maybe the solution to that... Go ahead, Joshua.
No, please. I mean, I don't...
Well, the solution to that is maybe to make it more available to people or to make other types of phones that do the same thing that iPhones do so that it's not risky.
Yes, obviously we would love a company to come and have like a secure platform and like Apple has and that would be great. But I will say this. It was designed, as I said before, all the way back to any device that can support iOS 18.2, right? So that's back to the iPhone SE and the iPhone XR, which, and I'm certainly not trying to make light of any money being spent. I am cognizant of people's finances, but I've seen these on the secondhand market for like $40 or $50. So to say that an Android device is less expensive than an iPhone, you're right if you're buying it new and you're buying the latest model, but go on Craigslist and buy the cheapest iPhone XR you can and run IceBlock. You can get it for $40 or $50 and keep yourself safe. I would argue that, you know, not being detained and disappeared is maybe worth $50. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And also a question related to this. Are you backwards compatible with old iPhones, and will you ever be at a stage where you have to upgrade your phone, or you know the software won't work anymore, which happens to me all the time?
So I'm going to try my best not to have that happen. You can set when you're developing, you can set a minimum iOS version that you have to have. 18.2 allowed us to do some things that the older versions wouldn't allow us to do. Okay, and we're utilizing the latest Swift 6, so this is, you know, all the concurrency, the strict concurrency is in this app. There's nothing that can crash, basically. And so that's why we don't have crashes, right? I mean, 740,000 plus users now, they've logged, I think, 15 crashes. And that could be, like, from the same guy, right, that the phone's overloaded. So this is really, really stable. So I want to keep it at 18.2 as long as humanly possible until Apple makes me change it. But, I'll admit, you go buy an iPhone XR, you cannot run the next iOS 26 on it. That is a discontinued device now, according to Apple. But you can still run 18.2 and just use it for IceBlock if you want. You don't have to upgrade your OS, right? So if money's an issue, I think what I'm trying to say is, better to spend less money, get an older device. Who cares about the latest and greatest whatever? All you care about is making sure that you know your surroundings and you can avoid potentially dangerous situations.
And I think, you know, in cases where even that is a bit much for people to afford, we can start crowdsourcing. We can make old iPhones, you know, the face of the immigrant community, where basically everybody has one, and it's
that's awesome.
Yeah,
what a great idea.
Disposable, maybe even if it comes down to it, because it's not that expensive. I don't know, but caller, thank you for bringing that up. You've gotten us some pretty good discussion here.
What about a hardware device that could just go along with my Android phone? I could set up some sort of hotspot on it that would allow the other device to connect to the internet and do my ice blocking activities on that second device and have it cheaper to manufacture or purchase than an old iPhone.
All right, I'll let Joshua answer that. It's the last hypothetical, though. Go ahead.
I don't see how that's any different from just buying an Android or buying any other platform, because the whole point is that if you want to deliver a notification, excuse me, one second, there is a blue alert coming in on my phone that I'm trying to go away from. Okay, there we go. Sorry if that broke up for a second. So my point is this. Any other platform, it's not just Android, so let's use a hardware device, or it's not just, you know, oh, well, can't we do this on a Windows desktop, or can't we do this here, or can't we do this there? Any other platform requires maintaining a database, a private database that would have to contain some kind of user identifiable information. And like I've repeatedly said, I'm trying to figure out a way around that issue where we can bring it to Android devices. I'm not sure it's possible, but I'm trying.
All right, caller, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks very much for calling in, and hopefully we can improve the sound.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Alex, I'm going to give you the last word because we're almost out of time here. Go ahead.
Well, what if that other device that the caller was referencing was simply a repurposed old iPhone SE or something that was utilizing the hotspot internet connectivity anyhow? I mean, that I think that would solve the problem, wouldn't it, Joshua?
That's an amazing idea. It sounds eerily similar to what I said, where you could go buy an iPhone SE or a car on second-hand market.
Just do that.
It does sound like that, Alex.
Yeah, just do that. But you don't necessarily have to subscribe to anything at that point, right? Like, you don't need to be on a separate service.
All you need is some kind of a connection to the internet. So, if, you know, it's Wi-Fi or whatever, sure. I mean, as long as you have some kind of connectivity, you're good.
Exactly. Yep.
Not sure what's going on out there, but go ahead, Gila.
To mention one thing that came up from a discussion in the chat, someone said if you're crossing a border and they see this app on your phone, will that cause a problem? Friendly reminder, only works in the United States, and if you are traveling out of the United States, your best course of action would probably be to temporarily uninstall the app from your phone so no one sees it there just in case and put it back when you're back in the States.
I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to say, with what we have seen happening with people going through customs and them looking at their phones, including U.S. citizens, by the way, my best advice is don't take your real device with you if you're going out of the country. Get a burner phone and just do the minimal stuff that you want to do. Don't have – I mean, look, it's not just IceBlock that's uninstalled and all of a sudden you're fine. They have the ability to look through your social media now. Right, and they'll scare you into opening up your phone to do that, even though they don't technically have the right to do it. They're going to scare people enough that they will do it. Mm-hmm. And the minute they see one anti-Trump post or one thing that pushes back against anything they want to do, you have a problem. So my best advice is leave your main device at home, the one that you're doing all your social media stuff on, the one that you're using IceBlock on. Go enjoy yourself or do your business out of the country. Take a burner phone with you and keep yourself safe.
You know, I agree with that completely, but I worry that most people won't be able to do that. They won't be able to just detach themselves from the magical device that they take with them everywhere. And what I'm wondering is, do we need to come up with something that streamlines the process of just either transferring things to another phone and then wiping it, or wiping from their original phone when they're overseas about to come back and then restoring it when they get home? It just feels like there has to be some other solution where people can just, you know, keep abiding by their bad habits and also protect themselves when they're crossing borders. I know it's unrealistic. I know it's unhealthy. But this is what people do. They don't listen to advice. They don't do the wise thing, and they wind up hurting themselves without realizing it.
I feel like in theory, it's a great idea. I just feel like you described feeding like chocolate cake to a diabetic.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, they don't know they're diabetic yet.
Right.
Well, maybe this is the only way to learn. I don't know. But it's scary what you say, and we've talked about this many times. No, they should not be able to go into your social media. How do they even get the idea they could do something like this? And what if you don't have any social media? I'm told now if you don't have social media, that's suspicious.
Right.
I don't know. This world, I'm really starting to wonder how much longer it's going to last.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy stuff.
We're going to leave it there then on that bright note. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. We've been talking with Joshua Aaron, the developer of the awesome app IceBlock, which you can get for your iPhone at the App Store. And I guess you want to give out information again, Joshua, for the folks listening on YouTube?
Sure, yeah. I mean, iceblock.app is the official website. And if you want to join us on Blue Sky, it's at iceblock.app. And my handle is at joshua.stealingheather.com. And, yeah, connect. Ask your questions. I try to find some time to respond to almost every one of them. You know, try not to do too much hate posting about Android because I'm not doing my best. But, yeah, we'd love to have you join us.
All right. Well, thank you for all the incredible effort you have poured into this. It really does make a difference. And I hope it inspires more people to do more similar type things. It looks like, Alex, you had something else to say? No?
Well, I'm all good. I thought we had another phone call come in.
No, we did not. Okay, well, we're going to sign off for the night. Thank you again, and we will see you at Hope in one form or another, Joshua. And hopefully more people will come up with ideas of ways to help preserve democracy and what's left of this country. All right. Again, with that cheery note, we're gonna leave and back again next week, 7 o'clock on WBAI, 8 o'clock on YouTube. Good night.